Welcome to the Story Mine. My name is Kathy Barker, and I'm here with my storytelling, fun-loving co-host,
David Bullock.
Well, my belly's full. How about you, Dave?
Oh, man, am I satisfied. I started eating Thanksgiving dinner on Monday.
Mashed potatoes, gravy, cranberries.
And turkey. Don't forget turkey. And stuffing. Well, the reason that I cooked Thanksgiving dinner on Monday was so that we would have plenty of leftovers after Thanksgiving. Now, does that make any sense? Well, my brother and his wife and family invited Kathy and my kids to go and visit with them for Thanksgiving Day.
And that's why we had to prepare Thanksgiving Day early so we would have plenty of leftovers.
First off on today's program, we're going to present two of our favorite musically inclined storytellers, David Holt and Josh Goforth. You know, we were thinking all these leftovers, there's a lot of bones we're going to be throwing out. And that's when I came across Bones, Spoons, and Fiddle Tunes down in the Story Mine. Well, I need to get something going on here, you know, get my foot tapping, start digesting all that food I've been eating. What do you say, Kathy? Shall we give this a play?
Let's go.
The very first instrument I learned to play were the bones and the spoons. My dad showed me how to play both of these things. So we're going to put them both together. The bones are just rib bones from a cow. That's what this pair is. And then this pair was made by my great-great-grandfather during the Civil War period. He was from Alamance County, North Carolina. And they moved to Texas, taking the bones with them.
Teresa Clark has an ability to twist and weave the stories into lessons of life, love, and learning.
This morning, we are going to present one of Teresa's Storytelling World winners. The name of this story is Frog Child's Lesson, and it's on her Tapestry of Life CD.
Long, long ago, in the African bush, two children went out to play. Now, these children didn't look like you and I, and they didn't look like each other. But already, they had one thing in common. For each of them, it was the first day they were being allowed to play outside without their mamas. There'd be no one on the front porch telling them not to do that or not to go there. As long as they kept their family rules and traditions, they were allowed to go where they wanted. Now, Frog Child set out on this day, and he was sure it was going to be some kind of wonderful day. He just hopped down the path and was so excited that he almost hopped onto the creature that he saw before him. It was the most amazing creature he had ever laid eyes on. He was long as a man's arm, and when the sun shone down on his skin, it refracted with all the colors of the rainbow. Frog Child stopped dead in his tracks.
Hi, do you want to be my friend? Do you want to play with me? I'm Frog Child. Do you want me to teach you how to hop?
Well, Snake Child opened his eyes and saw before him the most amazing creature he had ever seen. He was all scrunched up like a spring and tight and green and moist, like dewy grass in the sunrise. He had big bulging eyes and the cutest little cheeks that puffed up when he talked. Snake Child was sure that he'd never seen anything like this before. "Thur," he said, "I'm Snake Child, and I'll teach you how to slither." You see, S's are very difficult for young snakes. They have big, long tongues and little teeny mouths. But still, Snake Child was so excited to have a friend. From that point on, Snake Child and Frog Child spent the rest of the day playing together. And Frog Child did teach Snake Child how to hop, and Snake Child did teach Frog Child how to slither. Now, I'm sure this isn't something you've seen naturally in nature, so let me explain it to you a bit. For a frog to learn how to slither, he had to go against everything he ever knew. He had to take all of those little muscles in his arms and legs that were just like springs and convince himself to relax, which is no easy task when your arms are spring-loaded and your legs are spring-loaded and even your belly is spring-loaded. Frog Child forced himself to lay out on the dust and stretch out his arms and legs and relax and relax and relax. Until finally, he'd let just his little tummy muscles start to shimmy. And as soon as those little muscles started to quiver, he started to slip across the ground, and he was slithering. Okay, it was only a quarter of an inch at a time, but still, he was slithering. Now, for a snake to learn how to hop is equally difficult, because a snake's muscles by nature are all stretched out and loose. And Snake Child, he just didn't know what to do with those stretched out loose muscles. So Frog Child taught him to coil up tight like a spring, and then he made Snake Child close his eyes and concentrate really hard and get every single little muscle he had scrunched up as tight as he could, and then all at the same moment, take a breath and relax, and boing, he was hopping. Okay, it wasn't more than a 16th of an inch at a time, but still, he was hopping. They were so proud and so excited by what they'd learned from each other that they didn't even pay attention to the sun rising higher and higher above them until all of a sudden they looked down and realized they couldn't see a shadow at all. And that meant they were in trouble, because they'd each promised their mamas they'd be home in time for lunch. And if the sun was so high they didn't have a shadow, they were already late. So, promising to meet each other the next day, they said goodbye and headed off towards home. Snake Child was hopping. Frog Child was slithering. So rest assured, they got home even later than they should have. Frog Child actually made it home first. He just slithered across the doorway when his mama took one look at him and said, "Oh, my goodness, call the paramedics, call the doctor. Look at my son, he's all wounded. Oh, what's happened?" Frog Child smiled and said, "Oh, mama, don't be silly. I made the most amazing friend today. He's long as a man's arm," and she said, "You stop that right there. Do you mean to tell me you've been playing with a snake? Why, don't you know they can't be trusted? The whole reason you're spring-loaded is so you can hop away from them. The first time you turn your back, he's going to slither up behind you and eat you for his supper. So I don't ever want to hear about you playing with no Snake Child again, and I don't ever want to see you slither." Well, Frog Child was just about to put up a strong defense But then he remembered he was first and foremost a good and obedient little frog, and he couldn't talk back to his mama. So he hopped slowly into the corner and sat there the rest of the day. Well, in the meantime, Snake Child had finally hopped home. Boing! Snake Mama looked at her son and screamed in horror. Oh my goodness! What's happened to you? You're all scrunched! He said, oh Mama, I made the most amazing friend today. Wife Green of the Green Moist Graft. And she said, you stop that right there. Do you mean to tell me you've been playing with your supper? Why, don't you know? The only thing frogs are good for is for slithering up behind and slurping up for supper. I don't ever want to hear about you playing with your food again, and I don't ever want to see you hop. Well, Snake Child was just about to put up a good argument, and then he remembered that he was first and foremost an obedient child. So he slithered slowly into the corner and sat sadly for the rest of the day. The next morning, the sun rose high over the African bush, and two children went out to play. One was hopping, and one was slithering, and neither one of them felt particularly happy. Now, Frog Child, he got to where they'd played first, and he sat himself down on a rock, and he just sort of sunned himself and waited to see what would happen, and before long, he saw Snake Child slithering up through the grass. And when he saw him, he felt fear at first. He said, why, it's just like my mama said. He's going to slither up behind me. And then he said, oh, no. He's my friend. He won't hurt me. I may have promised my mama that I wouldn't play with him, but that doesn't mean I don't have to trust him. And so Frog Child stayed right there. In the meantime, Snake Child was slithering up through the grass, and he saw Frog Child's back, and he said, why, it's just like my mama said. I really could slither right up behind him and slurp him up for my supper. But then Snake Child remembered how much fun he'd had with Frog Child the day before. He said, nah, I might have promised my mama I wouldn't play with him, but I sure didn't promise I'd eat him. So he just kept on slithering right on by. From that day to this, Frog Child and Snake Child still don't play together. But you keep your eyes open on some hot summer day when you're out walking in the bush, and you may just see Snake Child all coiled up in the sun with his eyes half closed and a little smile on his face. And you can know he's dreaming of the day he looked beyond tradition and made a best friend. And you cast your eyes not far off, and you'll see Frog Child all draped out on a rock with his eyes half closed and a smile on his face. And you can know he's dreaming of the day he looked beyond tradition and made a best friend. Now, I'd love to tell you that there's no such thing as frog mamas and snake mamas in the real world. But sadly, that's just not the case. I learned that for myself one day when I was 6 years old. My mama announced that we were moving from Pinawa, Manitoba, Canada, to Silver Spring, Maryland, in the United States of America. She said we were going home. But I didn't understand because all I knew was Canada, and home had nothing to do with the United States. But she assured me that we were United States citizens and going home was the best thing that could happen to us. She told me I'd be fine because I knew everything it took to be a first grader in America, just like it was in Canada. So I started looking at the things I knew as a first grader. I knew that every morning I got up and put on my blue blazer and my plaid skirt and my saddle shoes and dressed like every other kid in my class. I knew that we met in the cafeteria lined up in perfect rows and sang God Save the Queen. I knew that just about every sentence I said ended with the word, eh? And I knew, like every other self-respecting Canadian in my school, that the alphabet ended with the letter Z. Okay, I decided I could do this. I could go to first grade in America. So we moved to the States, and I really wasn't even that scared my first day of school when I walked into class. Until I realized that no one else in school had on a blue blazer or a plaid skirt. No one looked like me at all. They all got to wear totally different things, and I felt very stupid. Then they started talking, and they laughed because I kept saying A, like I was hard of hearing or something. But finally, the teacher got up and started going over the alphabet, and I knew that this was my moment to prove that I was just like them. So I raised my hand. I said, ooh, 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 I know what that letter is at the end. That letter's Z. Well, you could have heard a pin drop for a minute. And then everyone in that class started laughing and grabbing their bellies. Some of them even fell off their chairs. And from that moment on, I became the foreigner. And you couldn't talk to the foreigner because she was weird. And you couldn't sit by the foreigner because she'd cheat. And you couldn't play with the foreigner because, well, she was the foreigner. I hated my first grade class. I hated America. And every day I went home from school, and as my mother would brush out my waist-length hair, I'd cry and beg her to take me back to Canada and my best friend Robin and everything that I knew and understood. And every day she'd just patiently brush out my hair and assure me that I would make a friend and that I would come to love the United States of America and that everything would be okay. Well, day after day I went to school, and day after day it didn't get better until one day on the playground I saw the most amazing kid I had ever laid eyes on. His skin was the color of all my freckles blended into one. His hair was in a perfect circle around his head. He called it a fro, and he had the most amazing honey brown eyes. But the best thing about this kid is when anyone called me the foreigner, he'd put his hands on his hips and say, "She's not a foreigner. She's my friend." I had made a friend. His name was Sam, and I thought he was the best thing that I'd ever come across. So every day we'd play together on the playground. We tried to teach each other how to be like each other. I tried to braid his hair, but it wouldn't stay where I braided it. And then one day, he tried to wrap my hair so it would be in a fro. But you can't take straight, waist-length hair and rat it to the point that it'll be in a perfect circle around your head. I looked like a very poor imitation of Whoopi Goldberg. But that afternoon when I went home and my mama brushed out every single rat in my hair, she didn't chastise me. She didn't get angry. She just listened to me talk about my friend. She was so happy I had a friend. She said, "Why don't you bring your new friend home for lunch tomorrow?" Well, I didn't need to be told twice. I went to school the next day and I said, Sam, the greatest thing has happened. My mama wants you to come home for lunch with me." He looked at me and said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes. My mama never says anything she doesn't mean." He said, "Well, I'm going to have to call my mama." So we went down to the office and he called his mother. He said, "Mama, I've been invited to Teresa's for lunch. Can I go?" "Yes, Mama, I'm sure." "I won't touch a thing, Mama." "I'll be so careful, Mama. Oh, thank you." He hung up the phone. He said, "I can go." Well, we left right then and there. Now, I lived behind the playground, through the woods, over a creek, through some more woods, up a hill, and that was where my house was. But on this day, Sam didn't want to walk through the woods. He made sure we walked home on the sidewalk. And the closer we got to my house, the tighter he started to hold my hand. Until by the time we got to the front porch, I felt like all my fingers were going to pop off. I said, "Oh, Sam, there's no reason to be afraid. My mom is going to love you." He said, "Teresa, you don't understand. I've never been in a white person's house before. Are you sure your mom is going to like me?" I said, "Oh, Sam, my mom is going to love you." So we got to the front porch, and I wanted to introduce him all proper-like, so I rang the doorbell and waited for her to answer the door. Well, she came to the door, opened it wide, looked at me, looked at Sam, and her jaw dropped nearly to the porch. Now, before I go on, I need to tell you something about my mama. When she was a little girl, she lived in Boise, Idaho. And a world-famous contralto singer was coming to Boise, Idaho to sing. Her name was Marian Anderson. Now, the world-famous conductor Arturo Toscanini had said that Marian Anderson had the kind of voice that graced the planet only once in 100 years. Marian Anderson was gifted. She had performed for kings and queens, princes and princesses, even Adolf Hitler himself, throughout all of Europe. And then she came home to the United States to perform for her people. She was supposed to perform in Washington, D.C., at Constitutional Hall, but the Daughters of the American Revolution, who owned the hall, got wind of something about Marian Anderson. It seems her skin was the color of Sam's. And they didn't want anyone with that color of skin to perform on their stage. So they canceled the performance. Well, there was a woman in Washington, D.C. who heard that and was absolutely disgusted. Her name was Eleanor Roosevelt. She happened to be married to the President of the United States. So she had a little bit of pull in town, and she made sure that Marian Anderson could still perform in Washington, D.C. She set it up so she stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and one beautifully cold January morning, Marian Anderson stood on those steps in a full-length mink coat and sang to 70,000 people who came out and stood in the cold and chill to hear America's finest voice. The coat she wore that day is on permanent display in the Smithsonian Institute. Now, all of that had happened to Marian Anderson before she was coming to Boise, Idaho. But sadly, the people of Boise had not learned much. There were frog mamas and snake mamas in Boise. Oh, they were going to let her stand on the stage of their theater to sing. But because of the color of her skin, it just wouldn't be right to let her in the front door. So they said she could perform, but she'd have to go up the fire escape. Now, the fire escape are those old rickety metal stairs on the outside of buildings. My mama said she carried an image in her heart all the days of her life of Marian Anderson in a beautiful evening gown going up those rickety old stairs to go through the back doors of the theater to perform for all those white folks. And even though my mama was young, she knew that that was absolutely wrong. So she made a vow to herself that day that no matter where she lived, no matter where she went, she would never treat anyone like that. Well, you wouldn't think a little girl from Boise would get very far, but she married a little boy from Arco, Idaho, and the two of them, amazingly enough, have lived and traveled throughout the world, and everywhere they lived, my mama kept that promise. Now, I knew that about my mother, but Sam didn't. So there we were on the front step of my house, and he was squeezing my hand so hard I thought my hand would break in half, and my mother stood there with her jaw dropped for just a moment, and then she smiled and explained herself. She said, "Sam, in all the talk that Teresa's told me about you, she never told me you were not a little girl. I am so glad you're here. Come on in." And from that moment on, Sam and my mother became close friends. In fact, there were some days I think Sam dropped by to see her just as much as he did to see me. But it didn't matter, because I had a friend. Now, over 20 years and 2,500 miles have come between Sam and I. I haven't seen him for a long time. But whenever I hear the story of Frog Child and Snake Child, I thank God for two things. I thank God for a mama who saw beyond color and tradition and allowed me to have a best friend. And I thank God for a little boy named Sam who became my best first friend in America.
We hope that during this Thanksgiving holiday, you've been able to spend time with your families and friends, and that you've been able to share stories and have enjoyed great food and good company.
Happy Thanksgiving!